Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO. That is our number. And if you prefer email, that's fine, too. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. You know, it's amazing. This week was flat. There wasn't that much going on, blah, blah, blah. But you're not here for a week-to-week nonsensical report. I just think it's amazing as we look back over the year. I like to do that from time to time. I like to go back over the years a lot to have some clarity. It's important we get that right. We have to have perspective, and you can't have it in the day-to-day grind. You cannot. It's just filled with so much noise, so much angst. Who would have thought a virus would be a political weapon? But it is. Even the scientists. Well, it's the science. It's the science. It's the science. The science to wear a mask. Is science not to wear a mask? I don't know. The same people said don't wear a mask. It's very frustrating, of course. And if I would have told you at the beginning of the year that there would be a pandemic that shut down the economy of the world, that would lead to the biggest decline in GDP since the Great Depression in one quarter, just like bam, bam, take it down. Millions of people would be infected, thousands would die. And we would be in a political environment of riots in the streets, burning down buildings. Any excuse, my goodness gracious, I heard this thing went wrong, or over there, let's go steal some watches. Let's go burn the city. Cool. Man, why not? Let's go ahead and kill some people wearing a Trump hat. Awesome. Let's at least beat them up. That within that environment of hate, of anger, of frustration, the economy down tremendously, that you would see the market up double digits. Sometimes even if you somehow knew the future, you'd be wrong. You would be wrong. I'm just thinking it's safe to say that you wouldn't have bet the market would be up double digits if you knew all that was coming. You wouldn't. Oh, I forgot. It's an election year, too, and we need to be leaning towards socialism, packing the courts, adding states so the Senate never gets tossed, get rid of the filibuster. In other words, let's tear up the American Constitution. And we want Green New Deals that ban airplanes. Right. Sounds like a bright future. Up 11%. Amazing. NASDAQ up almost 30. Unbelievable. How? How is this possible? And when we don't gain that perspective of how wrong we are all the time. I mean, all the time. I mean, if you can't just kind of take that and shake it, put it, just write it down. How wrong I was in 2020. How wrong I was in 19. 18, 17, write down those things. Why? Because when you feel like a genius, because you're really plugged in, wired in, you really know what's going on, and you are about to bury gold in your backyard because you are so smart. Certainly need to at least bail out of the stock market. Or we got to go buy one of those equity indexed annuities from one of those guys. We got to hurry and do that. Why? Because you don't want to be in the Wall Street casino. Ooh, no. That's why the reflection there is so important. Fear drives us to do the dumbest things. To sell the great corporations of the world because we're afraid. afraid of the news. See, it all seems logical. I mean, if the socialists take over, we need to be bailing out. Do we? I don't know. I don't know. I think not. I think we don't need to bail out. Is it a problem? Of course it is. It would have been. But I thought they were going to take over. I thought if Biden got elected, the market would go down. It didn't. What's going on? Does that make any sense? You know, it's impossible, if we're honest about it, to gauge what's going to happen day to day, even year to year. Even year to year. Except for this. Almost all the time, the market goes up. It does over long periods of time, but on a one-year basis, almost 3 out of 4 years are up. Just on a one-year basis. That's pretty good. So it goes up. And you know what? It averages 10% over your long period, like your life. 10. No, nothing's even close. It's 10 and you don't do anything. The corporations never call you up and go, you know, we needed a couple extra bucks, or would you come help us out here? It is a really bad snowstorm and we really need somebody to help us out plowing the sidewalks. Or a lot of people are sick, so if you'd kind of come on in and help us with their, you know, manufacturing this month. Nothing. Your responsibility is zero. Here's 10% a year. But we turn this into something that's really hard, and we get filled with angst. We're like, oh my gosh, what about this and that, and then the other thing, and last year, and then QE and inflation and the Fed and stuff. Yeah, ignore it. It doesn't even help to be like plugged in. It makes us more scared, right? It's astounding when you take a step back. How many people think they know what's going to happen? Well, the market looks pretty. Fill in the blank. You know, it's. You know, I'm a little bit. I always love the ones that are like, "Well, we're cautiously optimistic." Really? Well, because if you're a wild-eyed optimist, apparently, or just you're optimistic, you like. Look at the numbers and go, you know, most of the time the market's up. It always goes up by 10 over long periods of time. So I guess, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be optimistic and go, I think the market's going to do well. Oh, and very not very thoughtful individual, is he? No, it's those bears that are almost never right and are only right for a really short period of time and never right long term, ever. Not once. Ever. They're really smart. I mean, the way they lean into the cameras, man, and they tug on their beards, and just kind of give you that really, like, that scrunched eyeball look, you know? I'm really worried. Here, let me give you the 10 reasons why I'm really worried. Now, those are the smart people. Except they're always wrong. We'll come back to this. This is some good stuff. I can't believe I just really got some stuff in the second hour today when we've got some time. But I love to have phone calls, and we've got a couple of them. So let's go to Robert in Weezer. Thank you for holding. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Petso, you are speaking so true this morning, and I want to bring a wad of cash over to you and invest because I got 20 grandkids, but I've been invested since 74 and then lived through the Ayatollah Khomeini and yada, 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 and 87 and 2008 and blah, blah, blah. So truth is, every word you speak is like those trigger words of worry and concern, and just listen to the media. It's like, you know, everything you do is like you've got to be stolen now, and you're going to blah, 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 blah. Just stay the long term. So I'll be getting a hold of your office and bringing about, half a million over to you, because I just want to give it all to my kids. Love you, man. And what you do is, you know that, but I'm just going to tell you, you and Kevin are a tag team unequaled in this valley. Oh. Bless you for what you do.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You have a great rest of the day. Thank you. I really appreciate that. You made my day.
You're welcome.
Be
bye-bye.
Well. Thank you. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's go to Tom in Caldwell. Tom, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Hey, man, you must have been reading my mind, you know. I have to tell you that, and I'll admit that I am the epitome of everything you're talking about. I'm a little bit bummed that you actually kind of feel that way, but I totally understand it. I've lost everything for the same reasons for which you speak. I, at one time, was laughing all the way to the bank, and today I'm not. The one thing, though, that I would like to clarify, though, is that, and I get into this with a lot of my liberal friends, and I'm not going to call you liberal for any stretch of the imagination, but the idea that just because we feel like something is never going to happen, or feel like something is going to happen and it doesn't mean that it won't. The other thing to consider, too, is that I had an awakening one day, and I believed it was from God, and I was forced to be able to look at my portfolio. Well, I'm economically or financially illiterate, I guess you'd say. My specialties are in other places, as you can imagine. But I started looking at what I was investing in, and I really had to ask myself, did I have a better love for money, or did I have a better love for God and the freedom in this country? Now, again, I'm not trying to disrespect you. I'm just trying to defend myself against some of the things that you said. When I found out that I was supporting Planned Parenthood, Halliburton, Blackwater, all of these globalist organizations and Big Pharma, I had to reconcile that in my own head. I had to find out, am I really willing to fund my own enslavement just so that my children could end up maybe having some financial stability, or am I just empowering the globalist corporations to be able to enslave my children and myself? This country is $1 trillion in debt, and one of the things I always struggled with is, you know, we always look at the corporations as a sign of health in the economy. If that's true, then why is the middle class dissolving? So I call you Mr. Sunshine. I may sound like I'm frustrated with you. I'm not. I actually love the fact that you're optimistic, but I just did want to be able to let people know that the very thing that you're talking about is me. And but there are a variety of reasons that I believe are legitimate, and I mean, I'm suffering the consequences for that. But I really felt like I wanted to defend my position and those that have taken the same position I have. So I appreciate you taking my call.
Of course, anytime, Tom. And I'm not sure why you feel it's I'm taking a shot at any particular persons out there. I think we all are fearful. It's our human nature. And I think that as we move away from that fear, or that we think we understand what's coming, is an arrogant statement. If we know how people react, we know how 2020 is going to be. For me, these are points of reflection. And as you know, I've said many times when I've had this feeling that the market was going to go down. And then I realized, like, 2 days later, after the market's way up for those 2 days, what super trader and what a soothsayer I am. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things that I'm certainly not putting people down. I'm hoping that they don't live in fear. And actually, the market promotes the capitalist system, which to me promotes freedom and the values of this country. Now, if you don't agree with a company, you can certainly not own them. But I choose to fight against Planned Parenthood by contributing to Stanton. Now, I don't know how else or what else I might own in the great corporate world to fight against Planned Parenthood, other than giving money to an alternative to women that are wanting to have a baby. So you see what I'm saying? I don't mean to be offensive in any way.
No, and I guess I shouldn't have said that I found you offensive. I think I just wanted to be able to offer, not necessarily defend myself, but offer an alternate perspective to what you were saying. And so I appreciate all the things you talked about. I appreciate your optimism.
I like it. Tom, thank you. Appreciate you calling today. Have a great day. And you can hear the music. We are going to wind her down here for this hour. Hour number two upcoming, and I do. I'm excited about some of the things. My sweet baby told me this morning, she said, what are you going to talk about? I said, I don't know. I've got a couple things. Something on this page is what I'm going to talk about. But I know what I'm going to talk about. I touched on it before about understanding what has happened this year. And what would you do if you knew this was going to happen? How often the market looks bad or the news looks bad and we are driven to something else. I'll talk some more about it. I know. You've heard me talk about it before. I've got a little different take on it today. All right. Hopefully you'll stick around. Fox News is next. We'll be back for hour number two.
Kevin Miller Mornings, Sean Hannity Afternoons, KIDO Talk Radio, 107.5 FM, 580 AM, KIDO Nampa, Fox News Now.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. If you prefer email, that's right, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. Now, once again, these are my opinions and my opinions only. We're not here to talk about any individual stocks, to buy, 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 or sell, sell, sell. That is incomprehensibly stupid. And if you spend your time watching programs like that, I really suggest you go get a life. It is not entertaining. It's not educational. It leads us further from the truth. You don't want to be caught up in that kind of thinking. The only way you get 10 baggers, that is a stock that goes up tenfold, $10,000 turns into 100. That's big. And we all need them. Like Peter Lynch says, you've got to have a few 10 baggers in your career portfolio to do well. And since he ran the best mutual fund, had the best mutual fund track record for his time, I think it's worth listening to. But I will tell you, and someday I'm going to share a story that is really quite phenomenal of how much a difference you can make in your own community, in your own portfolios, owning great companies, not trading them. Don't do that. Do not do that. At any rate, before we get started here, I think it's very, very important to remember this phone number because I want all of you, I think it's very important, to follow our mayor. We want to turn people in. We got to turn in our neighbors. That's right. Write down that phone number because we need to be snitching starting Monday on our native neighbor. And in fact, if you don't like what a business is doing, instead of like not going to that business, like, you know, which most people would do. Like, I saw a guy not wearing a mask at a business, and I got really offended. So maybe you don't go back to the business if it's really that offensive to you instead of wasting people's time turning them in. Incredible, isn't it? What a weird thing to think about. You know, to me it is. Just so weird. Off the charts, don't understand this at all. Yeah, we got to tamp it down and all that stuff, but it's just weird to me. Super weird. All right. On. Hey, Pat, you hang on. I've got some stuff that I want to share here first, okay? And by the way, our number is 580-KIDO. Now, when we think about this, as I said at the beginning of this year, and you think about all the stuff with the pandemic coming and all the political stuff, burning of the streets, all that stuff, you'd be like smart knowing not to invest in the market, wouldn't you? You'd know that. You absolutely would know that. So what went wrong? Because now we're up 11% plus, the NASDAQ's up nearly 30%. You were wrong. How's that possible? Because corporations and the world adjust. I mean, and it's okay if you were wrong to sit there and go, yeah, well, it was just because they injected money here. The government spent money over here. Otherwise, we all would have fully. I mean, that was the same argument for people of why you shouldn't be in 2008 and 2009 and 10 and 11. Because it's all because of the Fed or this or that. And there was just excuse after excuse as to why corporate profits were going up and the market was going up and people were bearish. We need to learn from that. Not try to defend it. We learn. I'm wrong and move on. You know, I saw this week, and I wanted to share this because it ties into that being overactive and trading. We saw an account, literally, like it's an $80,000 account. That's all. Okay? And I'm not putting that down. I'm just saying it's $80,000. That's an important number to understand. It's a relatively small, it's a very small investment account. $80,000. That had $450,000 worth of trades since March. That's a 500% turnover. They're buying and selling like once a month the entire portfolio. Incredible. Now, as you can probably guess, the reason they were in the office is because they didn't think anything made any sense and their performance was terrible. Yeah, they were up 10% with the S&P up 40. By the way, it was a growth account, no income. You can trade yourself to the poorhouse all day long when we don't see this correctly. When we see it as short term, when we see this as a trading place, or better yet, we have people telling us it's a casino. Don't get in the casino. It's not a casino. You are the casino. All the odds are in your favor. Just stand there and wait for the bettors to come and stand there. And you walk away at the end of the day rich. Always. That's always been the case. It was true all of my life, all of your life. But we make weirdness out of it. Like, you're really good if you call short term. You know, if you really knew what the market was going to do over the next 6 months, you're like a rock star genius. Not true. Real wealth is built over time. Not in the next bull market. Actually, in the next bear market, when you're buying for the future bull markets. And you're sitting on your hands and you're relaxing. Hey, look, I get it. If you're drawing income or your college education's coming up and expenses coming up, you have to be thinking about how long it is until then and not waiting to get your money out, because we do have market corrections all the time on our way to new all-time highs, all the time. It's true. And that's true in income planning and retirement. We got to be planning for where you're going to get the money for the next, for 3 years from now. I mean, if the market goes down, the only thing you have to avoid is not selling. That's it. That's it. That's how you survive. It's how you survive. So I want to change this thought process up just a hair. Just a hair. As we look at the years, now I touched on this, like there's 74%, almost 3 out of 4 years are up. So even short periods of time, very favorable to the market, right? I'd take that bet every day. When people say, well, what do you think the market's going to do in 2021? Up? Like, that's some kind of, boy, it took me a long time to think about that. Let's see, 3 out of 4 years, it's up. I wonder what I should say. Is it going to be up? I don't know. Of course it's going to be up. You know, odds are in my favor to be right. If I just said up every year. And you know what Wall Street does, of course, is after careful analysis and interest rates, and we put in our profit models and blah, 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 and we hired all these really pricey people, we spend millions of dollars in salaries, and we're going to say, we think it'll be like 8%, 6 to 9. Why? Because we don't actually think it's safe to say 6 to 9. Now, it never does 6 to 9. We understand that. But don't tell anybody, because I have a really good job and I can pretend to be really smart and I can pretend to run projections that never come true. But that's okay, because I'm on CNBC and I'm the JP Morgan guy. I'm the Goldman Sachs guy. Groovy, man. Isn't it amazing? But they all say the same thing, right? Our profit models show this, right? Okay, but this is the thing. This is really important. The market never does normal. You've heard me say that many times. The market doesn't do normal. It does way better than normal, meaning the average, right, of 10, or it does worse. It doesn't do 10. Our linear brain says 10 looks like a straight line.
or a straight line up, right? That's not true. It's way more and way less than that line all the time. Literally, only 6% of the time since 1926 is the market between 8 and 12%. And the average is 10. I mean, that's a pretty wide range to like never hit anywhere near your average. Way over 90% of the time, it's way more than that or less than our number. But that's how our brain thinks, right? So we're thinking about that. That's the 10. But it doesn't do that. And so Wall Street always tells you, well, we're going to do, you know, we're about 6, 7, 9% because we put it in our models. And they're never right. And we're getting into that time of year where people are like, oh, well, I was just on a Zoom call, you know, with all the J.P. Morgan people. They're all just so proud of all the analysis they did. And they're going to say, yeah, the market looks pretty good next year. It's going to do 8 or 9. Wow, that is just incredible. Oh, except that's what you said last year and the year before and the year before. Incredible. Absolutely mind-numbingly ridiculous. Waste of time. Here's what you need to understand about the market. It goes up 10% your whole life on average, and it's never close to that, and it freaks people out, and it shouldn't, because all you need to do is own the great corporations of the world. That's all you have to do, and you become rich. You don't have to identify Google as an IPO or Microsoft early on. You don't have to do that. Just buy the market. You're in. And it's free. It's unbelievable. Okay. Now, let's go back to what I was trying to say here. If it's way more than normal. So most of the time, the market's up 75%, 74% of the time, to be exact. Okay. It's up. Okay. But here's where people get thrown off. The vast majority of those times, the market's up more than 10%. Sometimes a lot more. Okay, so here's the actual, roughly 70 times for the past 94 years, the market's been up. Okay, and 55 of those times, right? Okay, so 70 times, 55 of them are more than 10%. Which sometimes is more than 20, which sometimes is more than 30 or 40%. When the market gives gains, it comes in big batches, right? Like up 40% since the market bottom in March. When you miss it, you miss 10% average for life. And those periods come when there's great angst, don't they? Like 2009 going up almost 50% after 08, right? When unemployment rates were skyrocketing and people were scared. That's when it happens. It comes in great big batches of money. Not little gains that, oh, it's okay. I sat out during the election. I sat out the pandemic. Yeah, and you missed it. And when you're coming back, now you got to be right twice and you can't even be right once. Just stop it. And if there's people you're getting scared, then quit reading them. Don't go to the restaurant, the fancy restaurant for a free steak and some pimp pushing an annuity on you. Don't do it. They're just there to scare you from the greatest thing in the world is your investment portfolio, especially now in a zero interest rate environment. You can't win at anything. And if you leave, you never can come back because you're not going to be, you'll be trapped out because the market's gone on up without you. We know. I've been doing this for 40 years. People get out. It's really tough. It's really hard. We have to fight so hard to what is obviously in front of us. But there's so much fear. The media sells fear. If you're not afraid, you don't watch the news. You watch something fun. Fun, funny, happy, uplifting. Go watch animals eat each other. That's fun. It's exciting. It's beautiful. See things you never can see at the bottom of the ocean. But no, if I'm scared, I'm going to turn on and I'm going to watch the news endlessly. Woo, 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 and get very depressed, very scared. It's true. We all do it.
All right, I'll tell you what. I am going to run so far over. Pat, I apologize. If you will just hang here for this commercial break. I know. We got to do it. And Dell and now Ken, would you guys hang with me? And we're going to pull you right up to bat. But I've got to take a commercial break, and we just simply have to. This game is a long ball. This is the long game. And we always win. Always. But we have to control our emotions. Because times are always scary in one way or another. Sometimes more than others. I get it. But it's always scary one way or another. We have to control our emotions. And the news cycle and the annuity pimps and the gold pimps are always there to scare you and feed into that. And they're very good at it. It's all they do. Every family needs our super CD. Remember those old commercials? Every family needs one of these equity index annuities. All of them, man. Keep your money safe. All right. Now, they're not planners. They're not advisors. They're sales sharks. That makes them really targeted, laser-focused, good on their pitch. Don't do it. Don't go. Our number is 580-KIDO. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436.
There's an underdog story happening today in America. Small businesses are fighting to make a comeback, but in the moment they have the least, they're giving the most. They're rallying communities and neighborhoods, yet asking for little in return. Well, it's time we gave back. Small Unites is making it simple for everyone to take action and support the small businesses that unite us all. Find out how you can donate, shop, and share today at smallunites.org.
It's the Bullfrog Spa's year-end hot tub sale that you won't want to miss. Come reserve the beautiful Bullfrog Spa of your dreams. You'll save up to 25% off the suggested retail price with 0% financing up to 36 months OAC. Order your energy-efficient, customized hot tub now and save thousands at the Bullfrog Factory Store at 8567 West Franklin Road in Boise. Hurry in. Offer ends Saturday. Bullfrog Spas. Peaceful body, peaceful mind, peaceful home.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso on KIDO Talk Radio, 107.5 FM and 580 AM.
Well, that was a quick little commercial break. All right. That's good. Let's fire it up. Let's go. We're going to go immediately to the phones here. By the way, we also appreciate your emails. We'll try to get to them today. If not, we'll get to them next week. And it's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Pat, thank you for your patience. Pat, are you there? Nope, I guess we did. We lost Pat. Okay, we'll go on.
David, I hear music.
There you go. You're good. I got you, Pat. Thanks for hanging in there.
Okay. Okay, hi, David. Hey, David, I apologize for not calling you a month ago.
Yeah. yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, I was raking leaves, so I thought I'd listen to the anti-Wall Street casino show.
Mm.
And I thought I'd ask you to clear up a question or two. First, a little observation is I don't think I heard a single caller call into it, and that was kind of interesting for a talk-type show. But mostly, I never got a good feel whatsoever for the vehicle that the money is used for to create a, I think they talked about a 8% in return, rate of return. Can you give me any idea about how they go about doing that with no risk?
Yeah, it's fairly straightforward. And we do it from time to time when people are very nervous, or we use them in other ways, and I don't want to get into the weeds, but we don't use this product. We use something called a structured note, but they're all set up the same way. The difference with us in a structured note is there's not commissions built in, and you have a 10% commission in these annuities. They're all equity-indexed annuities, and that's why the pitch is the same. There is no planning. There is no talk show. There's nothing to talk about except we have a product, and we're going to pitch it, but they're not going to say what the product is. Because then they're basically saying everybody in all circumstances needs this product, number one. Number two, they don't have licenses. They have one license and one only, and that's an insurance license. Now, the state of Idaho is trying to address this. I've been frustrated with the speed of it, of having laws that actually have real disclosures and some teeth in them, but they're trying to get some different things, false advertising. So I'll come back to the point of 8%, which is a lie. There is no 8%. And the second part is, with all these others, you are required to have full disclosure. Like, hey, you put $100,000 in, $10,000 went in my pocket. Instead, they say things like, you don't want to pay fees and charges to your broker or your financial advisor. You come here. It's free. It's not free. Come on. You pay a guy 10%. Does that sound free? And actually, I testified to the state of Idaho's Senate committee overseeing this. And I'm telling you, honestly, these guys have been sitting there all day in stupid meetings, and they were all nodding like, yeah, that's a bold-faced lie. I'm going to take 10% commission up front, but there's no fees. How can people say this? Well, they do, and they can, because they drop every other license. No security licenses, no CFPs, only a license, unfortunately, to steal, which is called an insurance license. They're trying harder to do it, but at the speed of government, that's what we're dealing with, okay? So, Pat, they say things that aren't true. Let me get back to the 8%. So what you're talking about is an income. You can say anything you want on income. So I will give you an example of what the rate of return is on this particular product that I will tell you. For example, if you put $100,000 into an annuity, you wait 10 years, okay, because that what they're talking about is an income feature when they talk about being that high. So if I'm alive in 10 years, and I would suspect I will be, there's no guarantee, and some people my age won't be, but I'm going to suppose that I'm going to be alive in 10 years. Then that money after 10 years, for income purposes, will be double. Now, what that means when we take it back and I get a 5% income for life after putting it in and leaving it alone for 10 years, I'm going to be receiving $10,000 a month beginning when I'm, in my case, 70 years old. If I live for 20 years, I would then be 90, and my rate of return would be a whopping 2.8%. Not 8. It's made up. And so I think all of that is very frustrating because you could never do that as a registered investment advisor, a securities licensed person, a certified financial planner, which any normal person would be investing with somebody along those lines, not with an annuity pimp. And that's where these things get really twisted, Pat. So, these are very complex products. They use derivatives in there. They pay very high commissions. And those derivatives guarantee no downside. They also guarantee no upside. Especially now where interest rates are so low, because what do insurance companies do to make money? They invest in bonds. They're required to by law. How's that return doing these days? It's terrible. So they cap all of them. So when you get market participation, it caps out at 2% these days. So if the market, since, say, this year, is up 30% on the NASDAQ, and you're tied to that, say, in your equity-indexed annuity, you got 2. You went through the pandemic, and you got 2. Not 30. That's the problem with these. They cap the gains, and as I was just talking about before, with 75% of the years up, 74 to be exact, and the vast majority of those up more than 10%, when you cap at 2, you guarantee you'll make less than 2.
Right. Good. Well, the show really had the smell of smoke and mirrors heavy.
Yeah, it is. I don't know what to do, Pat. I can't. I'm not in charge. If I was governor for a day, that would be probably the first place I'd attack.
Yeah,
it would. It's so unethical and so wrong. It's so simple. It's theft. Mm-hmm. And you know who the people are? It's not 60-year-olds like me, because I can think my way around it. It's elder abuse.
80. Yeah.
It's 80-year-olds.
Yeah, 80-year-olds.
Right. It is. It's just terrible stuff. It's really sad. And I don't have any idea how they get away with it anymore, honestly. Everything. The margins come down. Commissions have come down. You can trade now on the market with, like, literally, I don't know a company that charges anything anymore to go buy a stock. I mean, TD, Schwab, all of them have just dropped their charges when you buy and sell stocks or exchange-traded funds to zero, literally.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
It really is. Anyway, Pat,
well,
thank you.
We live in great times.
Well, we do. We absolutely do. And unfortunately, there's still problems. There probably always will be, but
yeah, probably
this is
so.
One that's easily avoided, and I do not understand regulators that don't just get on this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. I don't get it. All right, sir. Thank you. Thank you for your call.
Appreciate it, David.
Have a great rest of the day.
You too.
Thanks. Bye-bye. And our number is 580-KIDO. Dell, please hang on. We got to take a break here for Fox News, bottom of the hour. And you are up to bat next. And then Ken and Bob, thank you for hanging on. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome. And once again, thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-KIDO. If you have any comments or questions during the week, shoot those over to PetsoFinancial.com. We also have calculators, articles, and podcasts there to help you with your financial planning. If you missed something and you want to catch it, those podcasts are usually up by Tuesday the following week. Dell, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please. Are you there, Dell?
Good morning.
Yeah, there you are. I know. You probably fell asleep waiting on me. Go ahead.
Are you there?
Yes, sir.
I got a 401k that's been sitting in another company I've been working for. And I was just wanting to get it out of that so I could keep it, you know, with a higher interest rate, I guess, or make more money than what it is, where it's at.
Okay.
Do you have any good suggestions that I could stick it in or?
Yeah, Dell, it's really not. It's not like, you know, go do this. I know if you're talking to, you know, somebody that just sells a product, it would obviously want to go into that equity indexed annuity as an example. But I don't know what you're trying to do and whether you want income from it. So any advisor would tell you we need to have an idea of what you're trying to do first. Okay. So it's not that we have an idea. We, of course, have ideas. We've got a whole quiver full of arrows, but usually you use several of them in that, right? You use some mutual funds, some exchange-traded funds, things like that. Maybe your goal is income. Maybe it's growth. I don't know which. And so the idea of getting it out and rolling it over makes a lot of sense, but it should be going in a direction that you are setting your objectives to, right? I mean, that's what you're trying to do. I want income. Looks a whole lot different than buying a, you know, Apple and or Google and Amazon. You don't just buy those.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, what it was is I was working for an employer and it was private stocks and 401k, and they were underbid, so I work for a different contractor now. But what I was trying to do is to take it so I could have a retirement when I get older.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of how much I got right now. So probably income for when I get older.
Okay, so you're still growing it right now, but you're not, and you don't need income now. But yeah, no. What you want to do is you need to kind of think about what it is your objectives are, and the good thing about that is you can start seeing how much you can or should be putting away, right? In addition to that, to get to the objective, let's say you want to retire at 65 or 70, that you're there, right? How much do you need to be putting away and have somebody coach you and help you come along? That's certainly as important as saying, let's go put it over in this thing over here. You need somebody to kind of walk beside you and if you will, like a what am I trying to say here? A guy helps you work out in the gym, the physical, everybody's going screaming. Yeah, exactly. Physical trainer. It's like that. It's like, but it's your money coach. It's your money trainer. It's like, come on, we can add another $50 a month, can't we? I mean, things are good right now. Let's get this in here so we can get you to where you need to go, where you want to go. And that's the point of that. You have all those things out there. Do I need to have some insurance or not? And I don't know where, you know, I don't know anything about that world. That's okay. Let's go over here. We'll go talk to that insurance agent over there. Or that, it's good to not be walking in the world of complicated finances by yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So that's what that's really about.
I looked at one person, and they were said if I gave them the whole lump sum that I would get a 5% bonus for joining their outfit or whatever, and it's in annuities.
Yeah, it's an annuity.
And they said after a certain – huh?
That's an annuity, all right. Don't do it.
But I just want to make sure it's safe, you know?
Yeah. I understand.
Where would I look to – I mean, I probably could just Google it to make sure the company is reputable and stuff like that.
There's lots of things you can check out, Dill, okay? Obviously, we're in the business. There's many other advisors out there. Make sure that you're talking about someone that has what's called a fiduciary responsibility to you, because that puts them legally that they have to do what's in your best interest, not in their interest. That's called a fiduciary.
Okay.
That would be a registered investment advisory firm, okay? I would say you, if they're not certified financial planners, I don't know why. I don't go to a doctor who hasn't trained to be a doctor and who committed to making ongoing certifications, and you do as a certified financial planner. There's continuing education requirements. It's just saying I want to be the best I can be to folks out there. So and also make sure they have experience. You just need to have some experience. I didn't know anything for the first 5 years, and then you know very little for 10. Then you get to be pretty smart. But you have to have that or a group that backs them. So look for that is what I would say first of all, and steer away from the product pimps, okay?
So I could go to your website. It's what, Petzl Financial?
Yep. PetzlFinancial.com, and you can listen to any of these back programs. You can run some articles, and I would do that with any firm. Go see who they are. Learn a little bit more about them, okay? And it's all out there. And also make sure there's not a lot of problems with FINRA as well.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
Dill, thank you. Have a good day.
You too, bye.
Bye now. And let's go ahead and jump on over to Ken. Thank you for holding forever, Ken. Thank you. Go ahead, please.
Quite all right. Hey, Dave, I listen to you regularly. I think you give great advice. And I wanted to make a testimony as a case study, a real world case study.
Good. Thanks.
I'm 70.
Mm-hmm.
I did not start investing for several reasons I won't get into until my early 40s. So it's been, you know, less than 30 years. I've been conservative, probably more conservative than I should have been, but my portfolio has never been more than 75% equities.
Okay.
And here we sit with investable assets now of about $2.3 million. Mm-hmm. I've had cumulative returns of over 8% over those 28, 29 years, whatever it was. And even more down to earth, people say, well, I can't put that kind of money away or whatever with what I make. My wife, bless her soul, has subordinated her career to mine. We've had 13 interstate moves, work-related in our marriage. And so she's been in and out of the workforce every time we move. Sometimes she'd stay out for a year or two or get our child settled and so on. And never big paying jobs. She's been a bank teller, a certified nursing assistant, has worked retail. And her investing has always been limited to whatever the match was from their employer.
Right.
So if they matched 1%, we donated, we contributed 1%. If it was 2% or whatever it was, we just said it's free money. We should at least do that.
Mm-hmm.
We have all these. Her portfolio alone is worth over $300,000.
Yeah.
And that, and you know, and a lot of that, like I say, she was out of the workforce numerous years. She worked part time, and $300,000 just taking the employee match with whatever job she had. So, you can do it. There is absolutely no reason you can't do it. And we just stayed in. You know, we bought and held. Maybe we rebalanced once a year a little bit, but we rode the wave up and down over that time, and it's pushed us to shore.
That's wonderful. Well, Ken, thank you for
sharing
your story.
Thank you for what you do.
You know, thank you so much. I appreciate that, and it's always nice. It's always nice to to hear somebody else's real life story and not just have me lecture a cup of coffee a day. For 40 years is over $1 million. To just hear you starting at 40, a very normal life, if you will, and your sweet lady to follow you around, but no big money there, but a couple million with Social Security, you're probably doing pretty well. I would call you rich.
We're doing very well, and sometimes struggle how to figure out how to spend it all.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Ken, thank you very much for your call. You have a great rest of the day. Okay?
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye now. And let's go to Bob in Boise. Bob, Fred, I don't know what a little hard to hear means, so I'm going to have to catch up to you here in a little bit. Can you hear me, Bob? Are you doing good?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
Good morning.
Good. Good morning.
You've made some comments in the past about value versus growth. I have a couple of questions related to that. I guess the first one is, for a regular investor, is it micromanaging to pay attention to that? And then I've heard over the past week or two comments or read comments about, maybe we're the rotation of value to growth is happening. Well, how do they determine that? Is it mainly the smaller companies that are involved? Because you don't see the big ones that are really pushing the S&P 500 backing off at all. Or is that just talk? So what's the difference when they say there's a rotation, and wouldn't that take more than one quarter to really determine that?
You do. But right now it's rotating like crazy. It is. It's really been something to see over the last few weeks. And what it is two ways. Okay. So you're right. Small cap is beginning to perform very, very well. That's an indication looking forward. I'm just saying, why would money go there? Okay, so let's back up just a minute, Bob, and then we'll talk about today. Okay, what's been happening is you asked two good questions, and I'm going to say this first. Is it micromanaging to get into the value versus growth? Yes and no. You don't have to know that to do well in the market. You don't have to. People like me need to know that, of course, because it matters, and it matters where you're getting income and things like that. So to a degree, you have to know that because, you know, growth stocks don't tend to pay dividends. Now, you can find some that are quasi-growth. I think Microsoft is, and so on, and Apple. They're growth companies that happen to spin off a dividend, but Google doesn't, Amazon doesn't, Netflix and Priceline don't pay. So you see there's a lot of companies that don't. Now, when you break out the index, the growth has been killing it for like 10 years. I mean, there's no comparison. The last five, it's ridiculous. And the last year, up until this last month, growth was the only thing really moving. And that made sense in the pandemic, for sure, because you saw Amazon and other growth companies, tech companies, if you will, killing it while all the stores and the economy in general, so you're talking about the industrials and all the, quotes, value companies, are doing poorly. So you have this bifurcated market that says the top five companies are driving the whole market. So basically, you've got the S&P 10 is all the gain plus, and the other 490 have been down for the year, seriously. So a diversified portfolio doesn't look anything like the top 10. Now, what we've seen is this rotation out quickly and into small cap, where we're seeing smaller companies looking forward to 2021 with vaccines, the economy opening up, which favors them over the tech companies where we sit at home and Zoom each other. So that is what you're seeing. So you're seeing this hard rotation as the vaccines are coming out towards those companies that have been in that 490 in the S&P that have done nothing for the whole year or down dramatically. So it does matter. But if you're just saying, I don't know all that, and I don't know what that guy just talked about, and it's really, I no wonder I don't invest. Don't worry about it. The S&P takes care of both. It's 50-50, value and growth. So you really have the whole picture there to say you don't have to know that, to your first question. The second part is, we are seeing a very hard rotation right now. Will it stop tomorrow? Very well could. And you're also seeing some companies like Amazon is off 15% from its recent highs. That's not a bad time to enter any company as great as Amazon. And I'm not here to sell you on Amazon. But you're going to see some people nibbling back at some of those companies that have pulled back just a little bit because they got a little ahead of themselves. So I think you're going to see more of a balanced market going forward after these value companies catch up a little bit, because they've got a lot of catch up to do.
Is it considered chasing if you make a, you had a little greater move toward growth, but you've been in pretty much blend, so you're still doing okay? Is it considered chasing if you've taken some of that growth you moved to and move it back to value?
No,
or is that getting greedy?
No, that's not being greedy at all. I think you can always rebalance anyway. By rebalancing your blend, you're always going to be leaning towards what has underperformed by putting some of that, taking money out of this pocket, putting it in the other. You're going to rebalance it that way. But I have, over the years, gone from a very, very strong value bend to a very strong growth bend. And I just think the world has shifted so much. And I think that instead of saying this time is different, is dangerous, I think you always have to understand that the world's shifting. And it is something that we have to be aware. And if technology is leading everything, and robotics, artificial intelligence, things like that are coming, there's no value companies in that space, right? None. There's zero.
Right.
5G is real. Biotechnology is real. Is there a value company in that space? No, there's not. And genetics and the fact that we can go down to the human gene and do it in a matter of hours now, that used to take years and takes tens of millions of dollars to do and now takes less than 1,000 to do, what a future we have. It's just unbelievable. And I got to get money in front of that. So I'm leaning more towards growth for sure, not at the expense totally of value, but because I still think there's pockets of real value out there. Sometimes they look like Amazon, frankly. If you get them all knocked down and cheap enough, it's just not been that way for the last few years. Chasing is when a stock goes up and then you chase after it because it's going to go higher. It's like people are all excited about Tesla. Well, maybe a couple years ago was the time to get excited about Tesla. Maybe it is now. But you've missed out on hundreds of percent of gains already. And it certainly isn't. It's inarguably an expensive stock, is what I should say.
And if you have a well-managed companies, they pretty much should be taking care of that for you.
They should. That's absolutely right. But there are industries, well-managed, that are dying. And I don't think there's anything wrong with looking at a portfolio from this perspective as well. It served me very, very well over the years. I don't want automakers. I don't want airlines. Those are two of them that just come right top of mind. There's many others as we cycle through. Energy's one of them. Let's go ahead and destroy as much capital as possible by putting holes in the ground. It's true. If you look at the actual capital returns for energy, it's horrifying. It's been negative since the 1980s. That's how bad it is. So you have to be careful in all these industries that are not dying. I mean, they may be around for a while. Airlines fly, but they're so difficult to operate with high capital cost, labor cost, and fuel cost. So all those things, any of those three things go wrong, your profitability is shot, and you have super competition. It's very difficult. Forget about the pandemic. They haven't done well for years. So that's why they finally had a little window there. You don't have to throw them out forever, but you have to look at them periodically and say, I don't want to own those, that industry, from time to time. There's small pockets of industries that I think don't warrant your dollars to invest in. And then you can take those dollars and overweight those into industries that are pretty easy to see. I'm not trying to be a predictor of the future, but putting money in front of robotics and artificial intelligence and genetics and biotech, it just seems like a kind of a no-brainer, right?
Right.
Not all of it, some. Because most of those companies will go away. Okay?
Okay,
thanks very much, Bob. I appreciate your call. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Bye. Okay.
And let's go to Terry. Terry, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, sir. I'm feeling like I'm wasting your time. Is this about money or something around here?
Absolutely. Isn't that great? Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
That's good student theory, asking stuff that I've never even thought of.
Yeah, very good. I like Bob has good questions. He always does.
The one thing I did have was, have you seen any projections yet about the required public or an analysis of shutdown versus necessary tax revenue to keep the bureaucrats running?
Yeah. Well, and that's going to be the big thing. If the Senate doesn't go, right, red, we're going to be bailing out really, really well-managed states like Illinois,
right? Yeah,
New Jersey, California.
Police retirement fund. They're
Yep. And that means your taxes in Idaho, since you've been doing a good job in Idaho, we need to send it to them because that's what we need to do. So I think that's going to be the big thing is if the Senate stays in Republican hands, they can block that, let alone all the nonsensical things. But they can block a tax hike that is designed to bail out those states. They need to get their act together. They were a basket case before. This has just been an excuse for them to not even think about getting their financial house in order and continuing to have the teachers' unions run the cities. And they do. I mean, the idea that the bars are open in New York City, but the schools are closed down, I don't even need to go down that road. That is beyond comprehension and beyond the idea that private schools are open, by the way. The public ones aren't. And you're telling me that's not going to affect the poor blacks and Hispanics in those little boroughs. That doesn't affect them at all.
In California, Newsom's got strip clubs open, but Thanksgiving shut down. So,
well, come on, Terry. You know where your priorities are.
But and another thing about Idaho, I got my property tax bill in, saved a couple $100s thanks to the governor and all everybody using the federal money well. But wouldn't they have been better off putting up a couple of MASH type field hospitals and? Mm-hmm. Instead of letting me have a couple of $100 off of my tax bill, which would have, I had to pay it anyway to continue to live where I live. So
yeah, I know it's everybody's, you know, it's like I say too. You know, you can't stand there and do nothing. The politicians feel like they have to. So I just don't sit there and put down the governor. He should have done this, shouldn't do that. I mean, there's certain things that I think are not being done right, and education's number one to me. I think that he should be in there every single day screaming at the school districts to get the kids in there. It's obvious that they don't. It doesn't affect children. That's the real science. Sorry. And the teachers are no different than somebody else in a store that works. So I don't get it. I don't understand it at all. And that we are not screaming and yelling at these school districts for their inept ability to teach children. These are going to have long-term repercussions. That bothers me. The rest of it does not. Wear a mask, not wear a mask. They can't be standing there doing nothing. You know why goalies jump left or right when on a penalty kick? Because even though standing there means they'll block a third of them. Okay?
Yep.
Because they can't be seen doing nothing. And the politicians can't be seen doing nothing. They have to do stuff. So oftentimes they just run around like a chicken with their head cut off, doing nothing, just bleeding out all over. But it says, I'm trying to do stuff. I get it. It's hard, and I just try to find that balance with it. And so for me, I understand that some of these lockdowns and all, I do. I don't like them, and I don't think they're right. I think Sweden was correct, and I think that the numbers show that they were correct.
Well, that's all donate to the Law Enforcement Benevolent Society, because they're going to have to enforce our Meemaw Marxist mask mandate. And
yeah.
Boy, that's not going to be easy for any of the boys.
Not at all.
Boys and girls. Pardon me. I didn't mean to do a gender thing there.
No, and I really hats off to them too. You know, because they're in a tough place. At least in Boise, they're not in a tough place. We respect the police here. We like law enforcement. But can you imagine being a cop in Chicago? What a nightmare! I mean, it just is absolutely ludicrous what's happening, and what Trump did over here at Boise State. What a socialist she obviously is. I know she was coming in, but still, this is off the rails. Big City Coffee is not a hotbed of right wing activity here. You know, it's Big City Coffee.
But if we spend enough money there, it can be if we work hard enough at it.
Apparently. Come on. You walk in there, I'm a guy without a tattoo. I'm a total minority. So this is a my point is that I can't believe how far. If you think that you're not going to be affected because you think it's okay to shout down others of other beliefs, you're next. Big City Coffee is no right-wing organization. Anyway, yep. Terry, thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
I will not get on the boxcar, sir.
There you go. Okay. Thank you so much. All right. Everybody, gosh, I missed your emails. That's all right, because they're going to be there for next week. I'm not sure with Thanksgiving coming. We may be doing a recording. We'll see. Something special with Kevin. I think he's brewing something up.